What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It's been a little while since I've been here. I think I keep saying that every time I have a new podcast. I think you'll find that you'll see me on a more regular basis moving forward for several reasons that we'll get to here in a second. But wanted to have a little podcast today and a show on YouTube, stick my face out there to address a few things that came up in the recent Circles Off podcast. I just want to respond to a few mentions of old Farley Betts over there. Going to give out a free tennis play today and going to talk about NBA look-aheads, what to expect after the All-Star break from these NBA teams. We're kind of limping into the All-Star break, relatively even in our bets this season. Hasn't been as profitable as it has in the past. In January, January is usually my best month in the NBA. I find that teams really settle in and you can pick up on their patterns a lot easier. That started off to be the case in early January. That was not the case for most of January. The NBA is a wonky place, and that's not just a handicapper saying that because I haven't had a lot of success. I think a lot of people would find that to be true. I do think that things will make a little bit more sense after the All-Star break, so we'll get to that in a second. It is Friday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Hopefully the lovebirds out there are having a good time today. I'm going to take a little trip up to the mountains with the family this weekend, so I won't be around very much here on Twitter. At least I'm going to try not to be. I say that, you know, sometimes you pop on, you want to see what's going on. And to all those who are single out there, well, go out. It's a Friday night. I'm sure the bars will be bumping, you know, have a cocktail in your hands and mingle and do things that we used to do before there were dating apps and all these online options, right? Mingle with people, talk to people. I think if you're a dude these days and you have the ability to talk to a girl with confidence, that probably has to really stand out, right? That's a missing trait. That's a rare trait these days, I would say. I was reading a recent thing. I think it was a New York Times post saying that Generation X doesn't know how to exist at bars anymore. Like, they don't know what to do when they go to bars. That's kind of scary, man. Like, you know, right? The last few generations, we were all about going to bars and hanging out and rubbing elbows with people and mingling, and whether it was for dating or making friends. Some of my better friends I've met at bars. We'll actually talk about one of those friends that I met at a bar, since he was also mentioned at the Circles Off podcast recently, and I definitely have to clear that up. Let me just start off by talking about that, and I just want to say, if I'm going to have any sponsor for this show, it's going to be the Better Edge app. Better Edge just came out with their own app. You can now download it on the Apple Store, wherever you download your apps. I know the owner of that site and of that app, Peer-to-Peer Network Betting. They've been working on the interface and the usability of that for a long time. Check them out at Better Edge for a different approach to your daily, weekly, recreational, or maybe your professional betting options. Might be a good escape from the typical marketplace that we're seeing out there, especially in a sport like the NBA. Maybe you just get a little more value, and maybe you could use that value at a place like Better Edge. So go ahead and check them out. All right, let me just address this stuff with Rob Pozzola and the Circles Off podcast, because I just want to get through it. Like, I don't like stuff like this. You know, I'm not trying to capitalize off of it. But I do have to say a few things and kind of clear the air about a few aspects to what they said on their podcast, because there was quite a few contradictions and just complete falsehoods that came up. So again, I am defending my brand. You know, at the end of the day, anybody who throws my name out there in a negative light with how hard I've worked, and I know there's a lot of hardworking people in this industry, but I'm one of them. And I've been here for 5 years now, started at the Odds Breakers with Kiev O'Neill, just a great guy, giving me an opportunity to write some bets on his website, started winning at his website, hit 58% in the NBA. And I was like, maybe I can do this on a professional level, AKA betting real money, you know, putting myself out there in the public sphere to maybe be a positive influence for those who are trying to make money. We could talk a little bit about what a professional bettor means, because I don't think anyone has that defined, but that seems a little too tangential. Maybe another podcast for that. But I want to say this first and foremost, okay? And I already tweeted about this. Like, the root cause of this whole, I mean, people are probably going to call it beef. Like, I don't, like, there's no beef. I have no problem with Rob until recently. Moving forward, I'm not going to have a problem with Rob. I'm not going to mention Rob if he doesn't mention me. But that's the thing, right? I woke up Super Bowl morning and I had friends of mine telling me that Rob Pozzola, who has a lot of reach, right? Like, you have to respect somebody who has a lot of reach. The Circles Off podcast has a lot of viewership. They do a good job over there, right? So you don't want your name to be mentioned in a negative light if you're calling yourself a professional bettor or a betting influence, somebody who can make money for their family through this betting influence. You don't want to be seen in a negative light by somebody who has reach. And that's what I found myself seeing on a Sunday morning, Super Bowl morning. That wasn't a very pleasant thing to wake up to, and I'm not sure why I did wake up to that. I'm still not sure why I woke up to that. Apparently, Rob Pozzola is not sure why he said that, because on his very own podcast, on his very own show, Circles Off, which aired this week, which I did listen to, at least I listened to the part where he talked about me, he mentioned my name in a tweet, right? He said, anyone can win a contest, parentheses Farley, the first person that he cited, Farley. Anyone can win a contest, parentheses Farley, which, you know, this is not rocket science. This isn't like deep psychology to infer that, you know, the topic at hand was that you don't have to be a great bettor to win contests, right? And we could talk about that all day. I mean, contest, for the record, I've said it on every show I've been on, contests take a considerable amount of luck. I've talked about the luck that I had in my 19 1/3 quarter run in Circa to win first place this year. I mean, the Jaguars in their game against Houston, I mean, that they should not have covered that game. No way. Mac Jones, man. Mac Jones is my hero. he found a way to cover in that game. I mean, they had a 2-point conversion at the end of the game that made it, you know, like it would not have been a win for me unless that 2-point conversion hit. So you need some luck, no doubt about it. I would say you also need some skill, right? So I think to completely say that it's like all luck or 99.9% luck, like this one douchebag that follows Rob was saying, just a little, it's a little presumptuous. Wow, can I talk? It's a little reductive, isn't it? But anyway, Rob mentioned me. Okay, that's the point to like all this, right? Like Rob mentioned me first. I don't know where that came from. On the Circles Off podcast, just a completely hypocritical, contradictory statement, because then Rob goes, like, first of all, him and his crew, they were all like so surprised. Like, Farley was a nice guy. I don't have a problem with Farley. What's the problem, Farley? Well, maybe the problem is that you mentioned my name. And this is where I've been for 5 years in the betting, you know, Twitter sphere, right? Like trying to make a bigger name for myself, trying to, yes, absolutely, get more gigs in this space, trying to win as a bettor, trying to hone my craft and my skill set. And I have winning records and crazy ROI in the NBA and the NFL, right? Like this is all documented, you know, at Sports Capping, at the Odds Breakers, via my own spreadsheet that I share transparently every single day, every week in the NFL. You saw all the picks that I had up there. I shared the emails that I sent. Everything is transparent about my product and what I do in this industry. And yet Rob called me out. So what is someone supposed to do, right? Like with the, I have respect, a lot of respect for a podcast like Circles Off, which seemingly came out of nowhere a few years ago. They're succeeding now. They have a lot of reach. So like I said, in light of that respect that I have, someone like Rob just throwing my name out there, it seems a little what was the reason for that? Right. And was I not supposed to respond to that? So again, Rob, you kind of started this. Don't act surprised when I respond to this kind of thing, because you're the one that threw my name out there. And then on your podcast, you said, you don't follow Farley bets. You have no idea what Farley's doing. You don't know if I'm a good bettor or not. So then why the fuck was my name mentioned in that tweet? Because that makes an impact, you know? And at the end of the day, the reason why it pisses me off, and Rob, I know the whole handshake thing that I brought up. I know it's all hearsay at this point. It's anecdotal. Ha ha ha. It's the most predictable thing in the world that you and your crew like all laughed it off. Oh, that's so funny. What is he talking about? A handshake? Insecurity? What is he talking about? It was a point that I made because it's just kind of the feeling, the energy that I always got from Rob. And then I see his tweets sometimes. I don't remember, by the way, ever mentioning Rob Pozzola on my podcast. If I did, I'm happy to address that. Please find that episode because I don't know where that exists. If you're inferring that I'm talking about Rob, like him and his crew on my podcast, because maybe Rob came off sounding very condescending, very elitist in his tweets, which sometimes I do talk about sports bettors who are too condescending, too pontific. Like they're always pontificating about something, right? It's like, this is how to do this in sports betting. This is the way to do it. Obviously, there are proven methods in sports betting, but I just don't think that's an effective way to talk to anybody, especially a recreational betting community. You know, 99.5% of them are recreational. They're not, they don't know what they're doing, right? So why are we talking down to people about that? Like, let's give it out in a digestible way. Let's be understanding. Let's realize that people don't make a lot of money, that they're trying to win a few extra bucks for their families and their, you know, like in their lives to improve their life, right? And they probably don't have time to apply the methods that a professional bettor does. So at least talk to them at a face level about this stuff, right? So if it sounded like I was talking about you, Rob, on one of my podcasts, I guess my apologies. I mean, your tweets do come off sounding awfully elitist at times, which I just don't like that energy. I don't think that helps anybody. I've said the same thing to Fezzik before. I'm sure you would agree about that. So yeah, I don't think I ever talked about you. Now you're randomly talking about me, even though you say you pay no attention to me. So that just doesn't make any sense. Okay. So when you and your whole crew are acting surprised by that, well, I don't know why you're surprised, because you're the one that did it. Secondly, you know, no one's here to beat you up, Rob. I'm glad that you referenced that, you know, the whole handshake thing. Obviously, like, that's not an argument. That's not something we're talking about here. The point is, it's a very obvious point that I'm making about the handshake. Like, bro, if you and I are standing person to person at Circa, wherever, do you think with a group of friends, you're going to like strike up a conversation about how winning a contest doesn't mean you're a great bettor while I'm standing there and I'm going to be the first mentioned? Like, that's the point, right? Like, you're probably not going to say that because it's not nice. It's not good etiquette. It's weird social behavior. Like, you just wouldn't say that, right? So that's what I mean by the handshake. Like, would you do that man to man with me? Would you say that kind of thing man to man? If you were, okay. If you would do that, cool. Sounds good. I doubt it. Because usually in person, people are a little more humble. You know, people can get away with a lot of shit here on Twitter, on, you know, social media without any repercussions, without any consequences. If I'm being completely honest, as someone who, it's not the military, you know, it's probably more because I was a black belt at age 12. You know, I box every week. Like, I hate that kind of thing, you know, because I just have respect for everybody when I meet them. I'm a warm person when I meet them. I just, there's no reason for that, especially if it's completely uncalled for, especially if it's objectively false, right? I'm not going to sit here and talk about all my records. You know, anybody can track me and go back and look at everything I've done. But if it's objectively false, then what are we talking about here? And again, I just want to reiterate this. Like, the reason why it pisses me off is because I don't know what Rob is making every year. Like, I don't know what his annual salary is from Circles Off or everything. You know, I do well for myself. But, you know, I have a family to support. Like, I don't have like a turtle over here. Doesn't Rob have like a lizard or a turtle or something? You know, I've got a baby girl. I've got a son who's 19 now, trying to push his ass into the military because he needs some direction. You know, I have a family. I want to make more money for my family. I want to get, you know, if I can get more gigs in this industry, by the way, PS, I referenced this at the beginning of my podcast. I'm a government employee. I've been a federal employee for 16 years with my military experience. and I've been at the National Institutes of Health for a long time now. Great organization for the most part, in my experience. I don't want to violate the Hatch Act, so I'm not going to say anything out of place here. But I'm going to take advantage of the resignation being offered by this administration, because I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me. And I've been wanting to get out of this position in the government for some time. So I might have more opportunity and more space to do more in this betting space here in the coming months, which is why I say I think that the audience might hear more from me moving forward. That said, you know, this is a time of insecurity right now. It's a very weird time for federal workers in general. I'm always going to be sensitive to somebody trying to defame or attack my brand. Because it means, especially someone with Rob's reach, with the Circles Off podcast reach, that means it can negatively affect my opportunities. So yeah, that's going to piss me off, right? Like, you're potentially taking away opportunities for me to get another show gig here, a show gig there, right? Which AKA means more money for my family. Like, what are we talking about? This is not rocket science, right? Like, this is something that I think any standard human man who has any self-respect would do. Okay. Just want to mention a few other things. You know, Rob at one point makes fun of my placement in the contest, in the circuit contest this season, saying how, like, seeing how low I placed, even though I won a third quarter contest going 19-1. Yeah, Rob, I did not have a good start to that contest. I was just starting to kind of play it aggressively and in ways that I normally wouldn't. And then I went on that third contest win, and then I was almost in the money at that point after going 19-1. And then I think I went like 1-4 right after that third quarter contest. So I was just, yeah, I mean, I kind of gave up, you know, at the end, because I knew that I couldn't cash. But for somebody who's saying that contests don't take any skill, and it's all luck, then in the next sentence, you make fun of my placement in that contest. Well, if I'm placing really low in the contest, isn't that also luck? So, well, like, why are you making fun of that, right? Another thing that you did, which I found very off-putting, is you made fun of the amount of views that I had on my reactionary tweet to your tweet about me. You said it only got views after Steve Fezzik retweeted it. First of all, objectively not true. It was about 11,000 views at that point, which to me, that's a lot. And then Steve Fezzik retweeted it. But that's so superficial to make that statement, right? Like, he doesn't even get any views. He doesn't. Nobody's looking at Farley Betts. Ha ha. For somebody who says that self-promotion doesn't mean very much to him, I'm the worst self-promoter in the history of the world. This is a really predictable thing for, like, somebody who says that is typically only saying that because it actually does matter a lot to them, right? So they're trying to make it sound like it doesn't. Well, you making fun of the amount of views that my tweets are getting certainly it sounds like you think a lot about yourself promotion and your traction here on Twitter. Lastly, I just want to mention one last thing, because this one really bothered me. This is the last time I'm going to talk about this, by the way, because, like, there's potential legal implications to what I'm about to say. So I'm just going to shut the fuck up after this. But, you know, many years ago, the first circuit contest that I won in 2021, I won fifth place. I won with my buddy Steve. Steve was my best friend. I met Steve at a bar in Baltimore, and because he was yelling and, like, you know, he's an Eagles fan. And even though he's an Eagles fan and I'm a Giants fan, there's something about me. I grew up in Eastern Pennsylvania. I was born in Northern Jersey to a Giants family. It was a religion. Relax. And then for some reason, my family, when I was five, decided to move to Eastern Pennsylvania farm country. And then I had to grow up around Eagles fans. It sucked. But I do have an affinity for Eagles, the Eagles community, a little bit, because I know it, right? So weirdly, I tend to get along with Eagles fans. Shout out to Sean Green. So me and Steve got along really well. Steve is a sharp NFL mind. To this day, I'm always going to say that, because I would never take away anything from Steve. He was instrumental in that circa win in 2021, but it was 50-50. And I could easily make the case that it was not 50-50 in the sense that it was more me. I mean, I started our podcast. I started the weekly conversation that we had. I introduced him to the betting industry. I got him onto the Odds Breakers. He soon afterwards left. Like, he didn't continue working in the business. Like, he couldn't keep the same pace that I was keeping in the betting industry. And I think there just developed a little bit of envy eventually, because I told Steve that I would like to enter these contests by myself as well for my own personal brand, because I wanted to go further in this betting world, like with or without him, basically, right? It was me being ambitious and hoping that my friend would understand that. I think Steve took exception to that. The next year, we ended up like not doing the circuit contest together. And the reason why I say legal implications, I mean, Steve left a very threatening voicemail on my phone. I still have the voicemail. And that was kind of the final straw for me. My wife was pregnant at the time. It just seemed like Steve was just having a really hard time in his life. He just recently had a baby. You're probably not getting a lot of sleep. I know what that's like. So I never like brought it up again, but apparently Steve was reaching out to Rob, reaching out to other people saying, I'm the one that did the circuit contest, which just, it couldn't be more false. I mean, it just couldn't be more of a lie. So I don't know what other way to say this. I've been thinking about how I'm going to say this, but anybody who's ever heard me talk about any of my kids, you know, like, I love being a father more than anything else. And I love my daughter more than anything else. Like, I would set the entire world on fire. I would watch people burn to know. Like, if I knew that it would make my daughter safe, I would absolutely do that without question. Like, I love my daughter more than anything in the world, everything in the world that I've ever loved combined. So I'm saying this and I'm looking at the camera on my daughter's life. I'm telling you, that is exactly what happened. Steve felt, I think, a little threatened by the fact that I wanted to go off on my own. And he just didn't like that. He kind of like flipped out. Like, he sent me these crazy voicemails, and that was the end of our friendship. Did Steve have more of a say and impact on our circuit contest win in 2021? And no. And I'm giving him 50-50 credit, which is, I think, being really kind of me. But it also brings the question, like, why would Rob believe that, right? Like, that's what makes me think that there's some kind of personal animosity or personal dislike that he has for me. Again, he mentioned me first. And apparently he's believing these like crazy hearsay things that, like, apparently he got a DM from Steve, or someone got a DM from Steve, or somebody heard something from Steve in the past. It's insanity. But the fact that somebody would believe that while I'm over here churning out betting, like, I'm on betting shows, I'm at the 33rd team, I'm constantly tweeting, like, I'm trying to gain traction. I'm, you know, winning. I would just won another contest. All my records are winning. Yeah, let's trust Steve. Let's trust this guy that's not in the betting world anymore. Like, what are we talking about? Like, that's what's so crazy, is that if you have a podium, if you have a show with a lot of reach, and you have this, like, what? I mean, that guy, what's that guy, 5'6", you know, probably like 120 pounds that's sitting next to Rob in a show. And he's like, oh, you know, he's just like, you know, basically validating Rob with everything he says. I mean, when you have that kind of show and that kind of reach, I guess people are just going to believe you, right? Like, people are just gonna be like, yeah, he's right. There's that whole statement about the 2021 circuit contest couldn't be more false. And, you know, even at this point, like, I don't have to talk about any of this shit ever again. I don't care that much about it. I would like to continue to get more traction on this space. I would like for my name to not be mentioned negatively for no reason. I think that's a fair ask. And we'll just move on from there. But, like, I just feel like I'm in crazy world a little bit, right? Like, did I start this shit? I didn't. So can we just, I'm kind of glad that it was addressed, though, because I've talked about the 2021 circuit contest and Steve and the effect that he had on me. It kind of sent me, like, anyone who knew me at the time, I was, you know, sending texts to my friends and stuff, just being like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? You know, like, I mean, have you ever experienced something like this? I know that contests can really tear people apart, right? Because, you know, you partner with somebody, maybe you don't want to partner with them again. You know, there's maybe like a, you start to argue about like how much we're going to split. I don't know, but I think I was extremely fair to Steve, and I hope he's doing well. You know, like, I have no animosity towards Steve. I mean, I haven't talked to Steve in years at this point, although he did leave me a voicemail a few years ago when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl and lost 2 years ago, I guess. And it was another one like, yeah, like, you know, he was so drunk. And then, anyway, if Steve was DMing people about me, I have no problem talking about some of his shortcomings. But I guess I'll leave it at that. All right. Well, I hope that clears the air from my end. You know, God forbid I'm a fucking, you know, trying to make some money in this industry. And my name is mentioned. And then I respond to that. Oh, my God. What are you thinking, Chris? You crazy son of a... All right, let's talk about a little NBA and a little tennis. I got a free pick in tennis that I like to give out. Man, I was just listening to how to pronounce this guy's name. I think I'm going to mess it up again. It's like Joey Fonseca. Joey. Something like that. It's spelled J-O-A-O. Fonseca. He's from Brazil. This kid is facing Mariano Navone today, who's from Argentina. This is in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Navone is a good player. Fonseca is a better player. Fonseca right now, 18-year-old, he has phenom-like qualities. At the Australian Open, he beat Andrei Rublev, the Russian, who's been a top 10 player for a long time. Very elite, you know, tall guy, tough to combat, that kind of player. Just because of his power alone, right? Like that he can generate with that height. Fonseca beat Rublev in two tiebreaks. Two tiebreaks, he outlasted Rublev in the Australian Open. That's really hard to do against an elite player. Like, you have to have poise, right? Like, you have to outwit, outmaneuver a player like Rublev, who's been there many times before and who's still in the top 10. Fonseca now is rolling here at this Argentinian Open, Buenos Aires Open. I don't know what it's called. I'm not the most well-versed in like deep tennis just yet. This is my first year professionally betting tennis, as in I'm putting real money on it. And every top play that I have, I'm releasing it via my Substack, which you can check out my Substack anytime. I tweeted that out and I'll tweet it out again. But this is like, I've bet on tennis before. I've put out free plays before, but real money and like top plays, this is my first season doing that. Fonseca today is playing around 1:30 Eastern Standard Time, which will probably end up being like 3 o'clock because that's what always happens in tennis. I trust the kid. I would, if you take his match to win 2-0, that'll be plus money. I think I saw a plus 140 at FanDuel. Again, I give out lines that recreational bettors can access because that's who I want to win these bets, right? I'm not giving out the lines that I can or the sports books that I can always access. He was plus 140 at FanDuel. He's going to be plus money everywhere. Navone is a good player, but Navone just got done facing Holger Rune, who just got off of an illness. Holger Rune's like not at his best right now. Take Fonseca to win 2-0 today in straight sets. He looks really good. He's really confident. He has a lot of momentum, and he's blowing through this tournament right now to start off being a top 8 player in Echeverry, which is another tough name to say. Tennis is full of tough names, a lot of long names, a lot of long ethnic names. I'm trying to get right. I'm trying to be respectful, but it ain't easy. A lot of tough names out there. Let me just quickly talk about the NBA since we're almost at 30 minutes here, and I don't like to go too long on any of my podcasts. I talked about a lot of this at Clubhouse TV this week. You can check out my show every week with Ben. What the hell is Ben's last name? I should know that. Ben, what's your last name, Ben? I'm going to look that up right now. That's terrible. Like, if I'm going to talk about somebody, I need to know your last name, and I know his last name. Ben. Ben Wilson, the great Ben Wilson, play-by-play announcer, VSiN guy, Vegas guy. Love you, Ben Wilson. Sorry, I forgot your last name. It's a crazy period of time right now with everything happening in the federal workforce and everything. And my brain's a little fried. You might be able to tell that. But I mentioned this a lot on the show with Ben Wilson today or this week when we wrapped up the first half of the NBA season. It's really the first 3/5 of the NBA season leading into the All-Star break. But I just want to say a few things. First of all, the Los Angeles Lakers. I know it's gross. I know a lot of people don't want to cheer for the Lakers. I get that it's going to be clunky at first, right? Like, Luka is used to being the star. LeBron is used to being the star. LeBron was used to being the star and the leader of the team, even though he had Anthony Davis forever, right? Like, Anthony Davis was supposed to take the reins. He didn't do it. LeBron still did it. I think LeBron is still going to be the leader of this team, but that doesn't mean that Luka can't find his rhythm, that Luka is not going to score and dish the ball and rebound and get triple doubles at a very high rate once again. Give this team a little bit of time to storm form and norm. And if they get into the playoffs and they reach a point where they figure out how to make that offense work effectively, the Lakers are going to upset some teams in the West. Like, if the Lakers faced like an Oklahoma City Thunder, even Denver, if they face some of those top teams in the West, I don't think someone could look at me in the eyes and say, I know the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to beat the Lakers in the playoffs. Do you? Stats-wise, data-wise, the Thunder are a much better team, right? Top five offense and defense almost all season. SGA is the top MVP contender right now, along with Jokic. I'm sure there's going to be some controversy about that. There should not be controversy about that. If Jokic deserves it, he should win it. He's been unbelievable. Like, you can put him up against Jordan stats. I mean, Jokic is doing crazy shit right now. So if Jokic wins again, it's not racist, everybody. Okay, SGA is going to win one. He's going to win one. And SGA deserves to win too. That's the thing, right? Many years, multiple players deserve to win. Okay, it's not always for some other reason why that's happening. But Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, they're getting Chet Holmgren back, which is huge for them, right? Paint defense, front court defense. But you still can't look at me and say that you know that they would beat the Lakers. Not with Luka and LeBron. And the Lakers have some depth. They got some really tall guys in their team. They kind of have wings, you know, not like the Boston Celtics have wings, but they have enough two-way players. Rui Hachimura, I think, could be a bigger and bigger part of that team. I love Austin Reeves. You know, he's just a workhorse for them. Gets along really well with LeBron. I like some of the moves that they've made recently. They don't have great depth, but depth doesn't matter as well in the playoffs, right? The NBA is a superstar driven league. And if you have LeBron and Luka, you're going to be in any game you want to be in. Especially because, I mean, if you watch those first games that the Lakers were playing, the amount of attention that LeBron and Luka were getting was unbelievable, right? That alone is going to free up those other guys in the team. And even in the playoffs, I know teams are going to play much better defense, but when you have to contend against those two guys and the other very talented offensive players they have in the team, the Lakers are going to be legit, in my opinion. They are my sixth power rated team right now, which a lot of people are probably going to throw up at that. But some of those intangibles in there, like LeBron's leadership, the tandem with him and Luka, if that's a marriage that's making sense, that's in sync by the playoffs, watch out for the Lakers. I'm not saying they're going to win the championship, but they can upset some teams. Boston Celtics. If you've listened to me or read my tweets for the last few years, I can't stand the Boston Celtics. And that's mostly because of Jason Tatum. If Jason Tatum was the superstar that we're told he is, then he wouldn't need that roster around him to win a championship, right? Just like, I'm sorry to say it, the Eagles are the best team in the NFL this season, okay? The Eagles deserve to win the Super Bowl. They decimated the Chiefs. But I just want to say one thing. And it's not because of the Giants that I'm not biased here. Maybe I'm a little biased, but if Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni were elite, do they need that roster around them to win a Super Bowl? Right, it's kind of the same thing. Now, Howie Roseman is the MVP of that team. I mean, that is one of the best roster compositions that have ever been created in NFL history. So kudos to the Eagles, extremely talented. I think they can repeat. I mean, they're not going to go anywhere. I don't think they're going to repeat, but they're not going to go anywhere. But I'm just saying that Jalen Hurts is elite is not the same as saying that the Philadelphia Eagles are elite. Obviously, the Eagles are elite. Not so sure about Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And I'm not so sure about Jason Tatum, but it doesn't matter, right? The Celtics have so much talent, so much depth. I'm pretty sure someone like Al Horford in the playoffs is just going to come in and like make a huge difference, you know, because, I mean, he's not playing as many minutes. He's getting a lot older, obviously. But when you got guys like Derek White, Peyton Pritchard. You know, some of these guys that can come off the bench and keep the energy going. They've been there a while. They know what they're doing. They're veterans. And then you got their starting five and you got their wings. And you even have a Kristaps Porzingis who has become a great defender for them. He's always been a pretty good guy in defense, but better with the Celtics, right? Because of all the length they have, right? Like, he doesn't always have to be in the paint. I mean, he could be blocking shots at the perimeter too. So the Celtics are just a really complete team. They're only covering at 41.4% entering the All-Star break. Folks, that is going to change. Expect positive regression from the Celtics in February, March, and April leading into the playoffs. And lastly, I just want to make a case for the Memphis Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies are a team that has not gone very far yet. They are relatively inexperienced and young. That said, the way that I handicap, and I've talked a lot about the way that I handicap, okay, I'm not going to go over that again. I'm not going to go over my methods. But as we get to this part of the season, it does have a lot to do with intangibles and psychology and poise and what the leaders and the stars of the team are going to do and how they're going to conduct themselves on the court. Taylor Jenkins is one of the most underrated, continues to be one of the most underrated coaches in the NBA. When you watch the Memphis Grizzlies and the amount of energy they expend game to game, their effort on defense, they have playoff effort on defense in January, in December. They have a ton of depth. I mean, you watch, you know, someone like Aldana, is that his last? What's his first name? Something Aldana. Come into the game. The kind of guys that they have who come off the bench, no team in the NBA is rated higher offensively than the Memphis Grizzlies bench. Their bench has been extraordinary. Now, I know the bench doesn't matter as much, like these backup players don't matter as much in the playoffs, but their starting five, their bench, if they remain healthy, this is a team that can beat anybody in the NBA, in my opinion. I think John Morant is the kind of kid who obviously grew up without a silver spoon fed into his mouth. He's tough. If he stays healthy, if he stays out of controversy, which I think he learned his lesson from that. I mean, he's doing and saying all the right things right now. This is a team who is going to run the ball in your face, right in the front court. They're going to keep up their tempo and pace because it's working for them. And they're going to attack you on defense as well. This is a team that's going to startle a lot of other programs in the West. And I think they're going to match up well against just about anybody because they have the defenders, they have the perimeter shooters, and they got guys like John Morant who can attack the paint and know how to distribute and attract attention. The Grizzlies are a really, really solid team. You can get them for a really good price. I saw 10-1 the other day to win the NBA championship. I'm not a big futures guy, but if you're looking at any team to continue the same pace that they are, not just metaphorically, but, you know, the tempo game to game too, which keeps on winning. This team is hitting at what, 68%, 67%, something like that. They're the best ATS team in the NBA, and the market has not caught up. I mean, when they faced the Suns on Wednesday night, they were only 2-point favorites, and then it moved up to 4. We took them at 2. Of course, that was a 3-unit win, humble brag. But clearly the market is not valuing them as highly as they should. If they think that the Phoenix Suns, a team that hasn't improved anything this year, a team that since the start of the year is 2-7, even with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, 2-7 against the spread, like they're not figuring it out, it seems so far, right? It's a small sample size, but so far they're not figuring it out. The market said, this is kind of a pick 'em, right? And then people started putting money on Memphis. And it moved up to 4. But even at 4, I'm like, we think that the Memphis Grizzlies, even on the road, are only 4 points better than the Suns? No, no, no. So the market has not caught up yet to how good the Memphis Grizzlies are. Take advantage of that after the All-Star break and look out for the Memphis Grizzlies in the playoffs. I'm probably going to sprinkle a little something on their future. I'm just not a big futures guy. I don't like it in the NBA. The season is too long. There's a lot of injuries. It's become too unpredictable. You know, the Celtics are probably still a better bet, or maybe a team like the Nuggets who have done it before. Obviously, you're not going to get the same price. But consider the Memphis Grizzlies for an NBA Finals appearance and definitely in your bets moving forward. All right, ladies and gents, I hope you enjoyed today's show. like I say, laying the points with Farley Betts is going to be around a little more is what I'm anticipating, because why wouldn't it be? I'm about to not have a 9-to-5 job. That's a situation I haven't had in a long time, and I'm excited to see what comes from that. I just created my Substack. I can share that again. A lot of free plays are going to go up over there. You can also get my top plays over there for a very fair price. Check out sportmoney.com, where I release plays now on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. On the Tuesday and Thursday edition, you would have to pay for that, but I think it's like $3 a month or $5 a month, like something ridiculous like that. So consider subscribing there, because we all have winning records. The writers do on that show. And even though not, you know, when you produce content, sometimes you have to give out plays that you're not betting, right? That's just, as a content creator, that is a part of what we do, right? I like to usually differentiate that. Like if I have top play clients, I tell them, I know that I put these plays out on Sport Money. Those are the leans that I have. These are the actual plays that I'm making today, right? That being said, a ton of research is given over there at sportmoney.com. We have great writers. Check them out at Sport Money. Check out Better Edge. Follow me at Farley Betts if you want. Hopefully no more beef. Hopefully I don't wake up on Sunday to another mention of my name. Maybe I do. Maybe it's in a positive light. That would be great. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. Happy Valentine's Day. See you next time on Farley Betts. Go win some damn money. All right, see you later.